on your introduction there. The Holy Spirit through James, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, this is James writing, or this is Peter writing, or this is Paul writing, and certainly that is a fact, but we'll talk about that. The Holy Spirit through James, blank line there, James has previously dealt with the subjects of, and we just have three basic outline here. Obviously, we've done 17 prior lessons, but we don't want to list them all. The progressive life of the Christian. The progressive life of the Christian. How the Christian life progresses. God puts trials into our lives, and that produces patience, and patience want to have her perfect work, and we ask for wisdom, and God progressively builds us. Amen. Then in verses 12 through 27 of chapter 1, the Holy Spirit through James deals with the practical issues of the Christian life. That's where you find him dealing with temptation. What's temptation? What's it like? What about the Word of God? What about pure religion and undefiled? Okay, he deals with all those subjects there. And then, of course, we know from our last studies, he dealt with not only the progressive life of the Christian, practical issues in the life of the Christian, partiality in the life of the Christian. Partiality, okay? And that is being partial, favoring somebody because of the way they look, the way they dress, the car they drive. Listen, folks, that's just sin. That's what it is. It's sin. We're supposed to... Boy, that was no amen at all. It's sin to be favoritism. It's sin, okay? It's sin to be partial. We're not supposed to look at the way somebody dresses or what they drive or where they live or what. Listen, we're supposed to be kind to all men, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we have there, and in here in a blank line there, chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. So blank line, you can put 2, 14 through 26. He deals with the profession in the life of a Christian. So you have progressive, practical, partiality, and then the profession. Okay? Number one, Roman numeral number one. First of all, we have the preposterous. Okay, what's the preposterous here? Okay? You've got your place there. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, that though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Okay, I want you to hold your place there and go over to Romans chapter number 3. This is probably, this section that we're looking at, is probably the most misinterpreted, misconstrued portion of the Word of God. Many men have taken this and twisted what James is saying here. Okay, so here in Romans, you're back in Romans chapter number 3, verse 28. Okay? Important. It says here, Romans 3:28. As soon as I could find it, amen, I was a page off there. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And all God's people said. Okay? We're justified by faith. Okay? Romans 5:1. Probably just a page over. Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Jump over to Galatians. You've got Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, then you've got Galatians. Okay? Galatians chapter 2. I remember we had to memorize this verse in Bible college, and I remember looking at it and going, wow, that's a long one. Amen? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Another great verse. And I have right in my Bible in the chapter breaks, it says right here, justification is not of the law. And it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So what is the preposterous here? Back in James chapter 2. The preposterous is this. Many have incorrectly claimed that Paul's teaching of justification by faith is completely contradicted here by James' teaching of justification by works. Okay, and we're going to see why. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. Why it's preposterous. Okay? The second, number two, you have not only number one, the preposterous, number two, the principle. Go to Psalms chapter 19. And I'll tell you what, if you will get this little principle down in these four bullet points underneath it, it will help you every time you read your Bible. Every time. The principle is in Psalm chapter 19. By the way, a great psalm. A great psalm. I remember years ago, how many of you remember the Roloff homes years ago? Brother Roloff used to bring his girls to churches, and this would be almost always they would sing this song. Amen. The word is finer than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Look at verse 7 of Psalm chapter 19. The law of the Lord is flawed. Is that what your Bible says? The law of the Lord is contradictory. Is that what your Bible says? My Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. So here's the principle. God's word is perfect, comma, free from error and contradiction. Now listen to me, folks. It's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, we believe the King James Bible around here. Okay? Because the King James Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Your NIV, which by the way, they're revising, Brother Sammons, amen. They've got a new one now, because the old one wasn't good enough, or this one is worse. I can't figure out which it is, amen. But you know there's a 20,000 word difference between the NIV and the King James Bible? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want an every word Bible. I want a Bible that's perfect. See, this other, the other Bible crowd, and I'd love to plow this row, but I don't have time. The other Bible crowd is not sure that they have the Bible. They need manuscripts. They need the next manuscript that nobody's found. Listen, we have it. It's right here. Amen. We've got it. It's perfect. So here's why this is preposterous. Number one, here's the principle. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Okay? Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And listen, you're a veteran crowd. You know this, but I'm telling you, this will help you. If you mark your Bible, mark this verse. Mark this verse. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Most of us could quote it without even looking at it. Okay, one of the best ways to learn and study your Bible is to study topically. And if you do a topical study on the Bible, you will come to this verse. And it says in 2 Peter 1:21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." Okay, let me just explain. It wasn't that, you know, Paul and Peter were just, you know, what should I write? Oh, wow. You know, I should write this. I should write about justification. Not the way it happened. Not the way it happened. It says there, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I've given this illustration so many times, I know it gets trite, but if I'm to write down right here, I'm going to write down Jeffrey Gordon Allen Hazel Schwart Esquire. Amen? All those names. What did the writing? What told it what to write? Man is the pen, God is the mind. It's the easiest way to explain it. It's the easiest way to explain it. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. So when you hear Brother Jeff teach or myself and we say, now Paul here is talking about, please understand that we just mean Paul's the pen. Because the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Now this is important, okay? Number two, man is the instrument used to write the Bible. Okay? Most of us know that little poem, God has no hands but your hands. God has no feet but your feet. Amen. Okay? Listen, God certainly has before. He wrote the Ten Commandments, and I love it. The Bible says, written with the finger of God. But He chose to use men to pen His Word. Okay? Number three, The result of the Holy Spirit being the author of the Bible and man being the instrument to use to write the Bible, the result is the infallible Word of God. See, if God wrote the Bible, we can have a perfect Bible. Amen? If God is the author, we can have a perfect Bible. Okay, so the result is the infallible Word of God. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Number four, God promised to preserve His Word. Listen, this is what the other crowd doesn't get. The other Bible crowd, the modern version crowd, this is what they don't get. They don't like the verses on preservation because they're still trying to find it. And listen, I'm not against diligent study, okay? But there comes a point, and Brother Zachary said this years ago, and he was talking about music, there comes a point where you have to take some things on faith. And I'll tell you what, this Bible has produced revival on two continents. It is constantly attacked. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for me, okay? Number three, so we have the preposterous. Why is that preposterous? Because if God wrote the Bible, James and Paul are not going to be contradicting each other. Because you know what? James didn't write it and Paul didn't write it. The Holy Spirit wrote it, okay? So number three, the proof. We have the proof. So we got Roman numeral one, the preposterous. Number two, the principle. Number three, the proof. Okay, James 2:14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Okay? James here is dealing with false faith versus genuine faith. Blank line there. James is dealing with false faith versus genuine faith. Or we may say a mere profession versus a genuine possession. Okay? The teachings of the two apostles are not contradictory, but complementary doctrines. Okay? And this is, if you get this down, you will understand the remaining verses right here, this next statement. Paul deals with how a man is justified before God. Okay? If you could think about it this way, Paul is dealing with the vertical. Okay? How is a man justified before God and God alone? It's only by faith. Only. Amen. It's only by faith. Not of works. Not of the works of the law. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6 says. You think you're going to good work your way to heaven? Paul says, no way. Only through the blood of Jesus, only by His life lived and us receiving that gift. However, whereas James seeks a practical evidence that proves that a man's faith is real and thus justifies him before men. See, whereas Paul is dealing with the vertical, James is dealing with the horizontal. See, there's only one way, Brother Holy, that your neighbors are going to know you're a Christian. And that's by the way you live your life. Now listen, with our lips, we should certainly say we're a Christian. And that is really what James is dealing with here. He's saying, some of you are, and by the way, he's going to call four witnesses in this trial of faith. He's going to call four witnesses. He's going to call that first one. We'll look at it next week where somebody comes from completely destitute. Imagine if somebody showed up at your door hungry and completely naked. Okay? Now first, you may be, hey, call the police, do what it, you know what they need? Some food and some warmth. And you know what they? You know what he says the first one? He says, "Oh, be warm and filled. Have a good day." James said, "You don't have any faith. You don't have it. If that's you, you don't. Your faith isn't." So James, if you'll get this down, you can understand this. Paul is dealing with how a man is justified before God. James is dealing with how a man is justified before men. Remember, James is the practical epistle. It's the title of our lessons, Faith That Works. If you have real faith, it will manifest itself in your works and in your life. Father, bless now this lesson to our hearts. Lord, help of those of us that name the name of Christ, Lord, to be about good works, to be about your business, not to be saved, Lord, but because we are saved. Help us to be a blessing to people, to help others, and God, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, Lord, just to show the evidence of our salvation by our life. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How about page 493? Great little hymn chorus, 493.